Good morning, everyone that is in attendance. Good afternoon, good evening, and a good night to wherever you are watching from. It's really a pleasure being here with some of the smartest people in the business, as you would want to call it. So I feel very, very humbled to be amongst you. But most importantly, I need to thank the folks that are doing development work across OpenSUSE, but especially the Agama folks that I had to basically listen in on them for the last week or so. For those watching, or if there's anybody from that team here, I'm the guy that would pop in with some of those weird chat messages. When the CFP was submitted, before submitting the CFP, I was very excited, right? Agama, that's mine. I gotta speak about Agama, right? But boy, when I started to prepare for the material, I was like, Zeke, what did you get yourself into? And it's not so much anything to do with the project itself or the developers, what they're doing, but it's just simply that it is in very active development. So for some of you who have actually taken a look at what is happening, it's really pretty much still work in progress. So I, like a typical developer, you kind of gather yourself together and say, okay, this is another one I have to overcome, right? Unattended installs are really, really a very, very important topic in any deployments that you have to do. So again, I will go a little bit through some of the benefits of that before jumping into the actual Agama demo. My name is Joseph Zikusoka. So for those of you who have met me, I typically prefer Zik, Z-I-K, or Z-I-K, depending on how you pronounce or how you say the Z or Z. I've done quite a bit of work in the open source community. Lately, I'm finding myself doing more of advocacy work. So for those of you and anyone who would be interested, I did a talk on the first day of the conference about my experiences and what we're doing in East Africa, not just specific to OpenSUSE, but basically just open source and force in general. So do check it out when you do have time. I try to have a bit of humor here and there, but sometimes the audiences are really tough, so I quickly give up. But yeah, I've done a lot of training using OpenSUSE. As a matter of fact, since 2000, I really don't want to date myself, so I'll skip 2 years, 2007. And basically, I've kind of watched the project from almost the beginning. And so, but usually that's really my go-to when we are doing deployments. I've also done, I've done a bit of distro hopping between OpenSUSE and Fedora. So, why do we need unattended installs? Right? It seems so obvious, but for folks that are starting out, maybe not so. So one, you have an automated installation, right? And the idea is to really, if you're deploying a larger fleet or you're trying to set up for many, many, many organizations, right? Just the speed and efficiency of it. Typically, you will have pre-configured scripts and files, right? So that's really the nature or the characteristics of any unattended install. It's typically boring, right? Once you say, it's not boring, by the way, as you're preparing for it, right? You do all the work, you have sleepless nights, but once you have it going, then it's really great, right? Typically, you want it to have some type of, like you have, so you have like a base, and then you work off of that base, right? And you scale from there. You also want to have sort of like predefined security settings. We are getting into SC Linux, so this is really where you, like, it would really help a lot, so you don't have to, when you're deploying for the first time, you have all your security, predefined security settings set up. And then, of course, you would need some way of jump-starting, right? So either using an ISO, a typical ISO on a, I don't want to say CD or disk, but I was almost about to say floppy, but like on a USB flash, or you could do the typical PXE, as we'll see a little bit later on. So really the benefits are the efficiency, you have consistency, and standardization, right? So, you know, literally everybody has the same. And it, by the way, it makes sense, and as we'll see shortly, for the groups that this is targeted to, like in an enterprise setting, right? As a matter of fact, it's Agama, really one of the main goals is try and get it into SLES, right? SLES 16. So you have, of course, customization, right? And the ability to extend it. That flexibility, so if you have different architectures, you can then, like you then don't have to be limited by just simply, you know, you can scale it out. You have, of course, the ability to integrate third-party apps, so, and especially during like post-installs, during the post-installation stage. But really, the bigger benefit is really having to have what you would call business continuity, right? So if there's a if there's a disaster or even just simply like, oops, I need to start all over again, this kind of like makes it a little bit easier. And so you have the use cases typically are the enterprise, like I've talked about already, cloud provisioning. Data centers, edge devices. So this is one close to my heart because when you're deploying small devices, you want that sort of like automation, computing labs, and then of course for us developers, testing and development, right? So those are some of the use cases. So I got this image. It's really pretty cool, I think, right? But I didn't know like who exactly did this, but basically the credit is right there. And but Agama is really a service-based installer. So the idea is that currently you have for unattended installs you have AutoYes, right? But that thing is really becoming, it's mature, don't get me wrong, it's mature, but it's become almost like a beast, right? And it is aging, right? It's not as friendly, right? Adapting, being able to adapt with it is kind of crazy because you're using static XML files. So it's kind of really not as adaptive. You could do remote accessibility, but not with the sort of things that Agama does. And then also really, it's not, like again, I say, it is really almost, it's still going to be around with us for some time, but I think it is time to look to the future. And that's what the folks in the Agama team are trying to do, is they're saying, let's look to the future. I will talk about some of the things, like they're really wanting feedback from the community. One of the things that I like about Agama is it's very, very modular, right? Very, very modular. You have your basically web interface, as you will see in the demo shortly. You have an API-driven setup. So it's really nice what they are thinking, and I think I would say we rally around that. If you look at some of the recent features, they constantly. By the way, if they change something by the end of this talk, don't blame me, right? And so some of the, because they are in active development. Things are changing by the minute. So it's possible I could be introducing a flag and someone will have changed it by the end of the talk. That's supposed to be a joke, but nobody's laughing here, so I will move on. The web interface, I will show a little bit of that. Really is really, again, geared to making it friendly. To new users, folks who are coming. And this is really what installers are. Most times, it is the folks that are coming in for the first. So for a typical, if you've been installing Linux, or, you know, you just do your thing. You know, but for the guys, I mean, this is the first phase of the project. So for me, this is really critical, right? It's so important. Eh? So having a web interface really makes a difference. You will see that they've done like you can pick product, you know, like select. You can select products very, very smartly. You don't need to go deep into what you need. You just simply say, okay, I need this, I need this, I need this, as I will show shortly. The storage, they're doing a lot of work in storage handling, filtering, making sure if you're using. If let's say I have a USB plugged in, and that's not really the intention, it will automatically know that you don't need that for the install. You actually need it on the actual hard drive. But the bigger one is the JSONNet, right? The JSONNet based profiles. Those are really cool, in my opinion, because then it's really JSONNet is really a super. Is it superset of JSON? But it's like it makes it easier then if you're integrating it with other tools and doing queries and things like that. You can do like there's a monitoring capability, command line monitoring, so you see what is going on. So for a first look, and again, I know this was done last year, but again, there are folks who are seeing this for the first time. I did a QR code, and I hope you're able to scan it. But that's really where the download is. And currently, I think they have even as late as this morning at 9 a.m. Someone will correct me, but I think up like probably like 9 a.m. there was a bunch of pre-releases. So what they have is they have ISOs, they have Arch 64, they have X86, right? And all the other two. But like you can scan the QR code to get to the download page and you'll see what I'm referring to. It's typically will give you the ISO, but if you break off the URL, you'll see kind of the snapshot images. Again, it's a lot. Sometimes they will break, like there will be ISOs that are broken, and it's just a matter of waiting maybe the next day to try it out. Eh? Usually the guys on the like usually in chat will pretty much pick it up very quickly. So this is what I created. So I didn't plan on being here and clicking and what have you. So I did I pre-backed this, and I created a script, and it's on my GitHub page. That it's basically a bash script, and you basically will it's like running KEM, like to start the VM, so for testing purposes. So really nothing really much, just the typical KEMU flags, just making sure. So I had it one for ISOs and then PXC. For the PXC, I set up like the DHCP server and the PXC Linux setups there. So that is critical. But I'll show you. So if we go ahead and start that, it should spin up something. And so this, you're already used to this, right? And again, most install, if you've been around Linux, most installations look like this. So if I press the E, just to, again, it's critical because you need to add some flags occasionally to the kernel, Linux kernel, to the bootloader there. Eh? And so if I type, so console really helps me see what is happening, right? And you will see why shortly. Again, it will start that. And basically load the kernel, load the init images, and basically you should see something like this. So just before I continue on with that, as on, at the bootloader you have, there are very many options you can kind of tweak, right? You could tweak the host name, right? So I could have something like gamma.jambola.net, right? You could do like a password. So the web interface really requires you to have like a password. So you can have a custom. So if you don't set it here, it will actually, I'll show you, it will actually bring it up on the console and generate one randomly for you. Then you have the inst.auto equals, and that would be the path to your profile. So Agama does support, so you can pull profiles from HTTP, HTTPS, you can pull from NFS. There's a lot of work going on with NFS. You can, I said FTP, you could do, I believe you could do Samba shares also. I mean, you can do different URIs for that. So, and then of course, inst.repo would be your repo, the location to there. So if you have something custom that you prefer. You could actually set the IP. This is actually neat because I usually like to set my IPs, like to start. So you can set that both IPv4, IPv6. So you can do that on the bootloader. But that all will also, as you will see, can go into the profile. So you just simply specify the profile. The other flags are, of course, when you want it maybe to power off when you're done or reboot. So this is what you see when you boot up the first time. On the left is obviously the console. On the right is the, this is now our image that we're looking at, the KEMU. But this is exactly what you're going to see in the web interface. And again, I brought this up because I wanted you to see that it generates like a URL for you. And this is MDNS, right? So if you're in a local setup, you can do MDNS, so it's agama.local. Or you can specify the actual IP address. So. But with Linux MDN, you could do Avahi, you can do all the other Bonju, whatever fancy name there is for MDNS. You can use, like, those apps would help you get that. So once you have that, you can log in, right? So, but the idea is that you don't have to, you can actually specify using the live.password equals, you can actually specify the, you can specify the, your custom password. Eh? So basically like that would help you to then not go by what is randomly generated. I'm stalling a little bit because in the demo I was like trying to get different Firefox profile going, but this is what the web interface would look like. And again, some of you have already seen this. By the way, the SSL certificates can also be specified, so it doesn't necessarily have to be that. And so once you have that, you can select a product. Again, this is similar to what we were seeing earlier on, but instead we're actually viewing this on a web page. So you have Lib 16 beta. You have OpenSUSE. So you have Floral. You have OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. These are the different products that you can actually specify in your profile. Again, the main target is less, and then Lib 16. So, but over time, I'm really excited about this because I see it beyond just OpenSUSE. So this is how the installation looks like when it starts. I will go ahead and cut that short, and we'll kind of skip a little bit forward as we talk a little bit some more here. So when that is done, you get to an overview. The overview itself is the idea is to make it plain, simple, right? Just so anybody coming in can get to do what they need to do. Right off the bat, you will notice that, you're able to see, okay, it's localization, United States. Storage, you're using 14 GB. Installation will take about 1.6, right? If you notice on your right corner, the install button right there, you will notice that there is an exclamation mark, right? And again, it will tell you not possible with current setup. Why? Because there are some pre-installation checks you need to perform, right? And the key ones are defining a user, setting the root password. I'll just show you shortly. And once you have that, then the exclamation goes away, right? But the idea is that right off the bat, you kind of know, okay, this is what I can go ahead. Either you click install if you don't have that, or you need to sort out the things or quirks that it's telling you to do. So you can again set the host name here. Again, like I mentioned earlier on, you can do that on the bootloader. You can do that in your profile, as we'll see shortly. One of the things that you need to keep in mind, and it tells you that it's using a transient host name, Agama, right? You know, so that's really critical. Then again, you can set up the language. Typically, for me, I usually do US, but you can set up the keyboard. The only thing for me I do here is the time zone. So I'll usually pick my time zone right here. And again, nothing really, again, you're already familiar with this, but for someone new, this is really something that really makes a difference. You know, they don't have to go through a web of things. Eh? So in the connections, you have your wired and Wi-Fi networks, right? And very quickly, you'll see the connection details, both IPv4, IPv6, your DNS settings, routes, and then your interface, whether it's connected or not. Keep in mind that if you do change this, we're not going to do that, but if you do change this, the settings take effect immediately. So just so you know. But you could, I mean, you could add your own stuff right here, specific to your site. Then, of course, you have your storage, which is typically like, again, I was using something smaller, but you're at least looking at somewhere around 20 plus GB for the other products. But like here, you're looking at 14 GB. It will tell you basically what new partitions will be created, right? There's a lot of work going on in the storage area, so it will create a root partition for you. It will create a slash /vr partition for you, and I think the default is butterfs. I need to, someone will need to correct me on that, but more. There are more devices, you know, so you could also do LVM, right, for those of you who prefer that. And then as you see in the bottom, it's actually telling you the result of things that will be done, right? So we have our nice layout of the fact that it will create a GPT on dev SDA. It will create a BIOS boot partition. It will create a root partition. So it's kind of really nice just to give you an idea of how the installation will go like. Again, if you do installs, this is nothing really new, but for someone starting out, again, this could make a big difference. Again, watch out for the next releases because they are doing quite a bit of stuff around this. Eh? So... software, you could pick your different patterns, you know, that you prefer, right here. So, again, just like I really love this because you don't have to like look at so many things. Right here, you're basically being asked for the first user you want to define because that's what we were required to do anyway. You need to at least define that first user. So one of the things that when we do set up the root password is you'll notice that you can actually set up like an SSH. You could do a public key. You could actually do a public key so you don't have necessarily to do a plain password. So we're going to kind of go through the next sections a little bit faster. I'm looking at the time here. But the idea, yes, you can have both options because this really needs to be set up. And so once you have this, then you should be good to go. One thing that... I love about this is actually you can upload it also, right? So you don't necessarily have to type it out. So you can actually upload it, which is really kind of cool. Okay. So I think I'll just cut that short. But basically what you're looking at eventually when you start, it will get to congratulations. You may reboot the system now, and voila, you have your, you know, the different types. You have profile based and script based. So again, this is a JSON-native format. By the way, you can do an import of your AutoYAST profiles, right? So you could use a gamma config log, and you don't. It doesn't necessarily have to be log. You can actually use an external URI as long as it's available, so you could actually do that. And so again, this is a simple, very simple. You have your product ID, you have your boot device, and maybe a name, a password, and the username. So this is a bit longer. I pull this up more to show you the software patterns and the packages that you can add up there, the storage, different partitions, user, root, and then the network. So once you have this profile generated, you need to do certain things. One, you need to, what they're calling, you need to evaluate it, right? And validate it. First, Agama config show will show you what is in the profile, right? But Agama config generate profile will actually evaluate it for you. And then Agama config validate your profile will actually, and it will give you something simple that, okay, you're good to go, right? Just that way you know your syntax is right, your everything is set up the way it's supposed to. You can also do this using just one command, right? So you could, and by the way, the reason why I'm using sudo here, or eventually run zero, whatever, but sudo basically, because you're again querying your system, you need root privileges, right? In fact, when you do LSH, that tool called, is it LSHW? Yes, LSHW. It will actually, you need root privileges. So that's why I'm doing sudo agama config generate, right? And then I pipe it into to the validate. So, and then with the input the other side. So you basically, like, you can do this all at once if you are scripting this. In the script-based setup, you would basically always typically load your profile first, right? You want to first load your profile, and very simply, you just simply type agama install. That's it, and it will do the installation for you. Again, there is a if you scan the QR code, there is a kind of like a little bit of a variation of that script at that link. If you need to do certain things around the partitioning phase, so you would again go ahead and load your profile. So from wherever you it is, then you do agama install. But this time you would basically add until partitioning. So let's say you want to mount something in FSTab, right? You need a device mounted there. This is where you would do that, and set up the different options. And then, of course, you do the agama install to complete. The other bit is where, let's say now you're done with the partitioning, you're done with the RPM installation. You have a flag called until deploy, right? Until deploy basically will then allow you to do some custom things. So like if you need to set up certain security settings during that initial boot, you need to tweak configs, you need to apply updates, certain packages. This is really the stage you would do it at. And then, of course, again, you would complete the installation with agama install. So I really like the modularity of that, just being able to do it kind of the way we are used to. And so I feel like most folks should really look at moving this direction, and let's really support the team there to try and get this done. So jumpstarting, this is always like a trick. I spend hours trying to set up this, because I never, you think you're going to do it, then you don't do it, then next time you have to do it again. So you do your TFTP, a lot of packages there. DHCP, there are a lot of packages. I'm getting into just a plug Kia lately. So I just submitted a Kia for build root, a package for build root. I hope they eventually get it in. But you have PXC, Linux, SysLinux. You have, so But the idea is that you can do this via PXC, or you can do this via an ISO, if you do a custom ISO image. What you need to keep in mind that for the custom image, you need to place that profile in a kind of FAT formatted partition. That's what they're calling the OEM DRV, or under the root partition. And the sequence is always, it will check for auto inst, JSONnet, JSON, XML. So for script, obviously, PXC, and then getting in it to run your script automatically. So when I was doing a lot of testing, I kept keeping, so there's no order to this. I just kept picking up whatever like disturbed me a lot. I basically, like some of the things I was saying, okay, you need, of course, to validate your profiles. You need to check your firewall settings, right? With SCE Linux, you need to make sure you set your context right. Avahi, if you were doing the, you wanted to make sure you can access using MDNS, you need to make sure that it's actually browsable. You also need to, so for the, it's always best to really check your profiles to see first from externally to see if they're actually reachable, right? You want to make sure that you stay up to date. This one is so important because things are really, really changing fast. Eh? I don't know if I have time to flip a little bit to. So this is what I was talking about, the current snapshots. So right now you see these are mainly Arch 64, ARM 64 packages. So, but yeah. So the last, I really thought they were going to do one this week, but like, anyway, the last one is May 27th, so you really need to be like following what is happening, because a lot of stuff is keeps changing as you're testing. So if things are not working out quite right, so you want to make sure that so they're revamping certain things here and there. So yeah, I ran into a situation where I prepared the material first, and then at some point they changed on the Yagama command, they changed the options, and I was like, okay, I guess I need to update my talk. So in terms of the roadmap, they're looking at improving, obviously, the storage handling, the installer questions, so, you know, things that you really need to ask someone for, maybe an encrypted password, things like that. The bootloader password, they're really looking at making some changes to that. They're looking at improvements in the NFS shares, connection to NFS shares, and also handling the BATA-FS file systems, and then improving integration with other tools, because that's really key. I was talking to someone earlier this week, and they were saying how, a lot of people are already invested in AutoYAST and how it all goes, so it's nice to be able to not restart again from scratch, right? So here's where I run away, folks. Eh? But if there are any questions, go ahead.
If I got it right, that new Kalpa desktop is also investigating using Agama. So it's Is it also for non-automated installs well suited?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that a little bit. Is it
well suited for non-automated installs as well?
Like as in the target that they're looking at, eh?
Yes.
Okay, so right now you're looking at, you're basically looking at lib16, right? And then SLES16. So again, for the enterprise, that's the that's kind of been the major goal, so they can move the enterprise folks there.
Thanks.
Yeah.